Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Blizzard by Addison Jane, narrated by Troy Duran and Elizabeth Hart. Prologue. Blizzard. I threw back the rest of my beer. It had gone warm and the feeling of it slipping down my throat was less than pleasant. My face twisted and I signaled to Ham, one of the club prospects, to bring me another. He eyed me carefully, but I shot him a glare that shut his mouth pretty quickly and snatched the new bottle from his hand. I was numbing my body. It seemed to be a common theme for me at the moment. I wasn't completely oblivious to my brother's worried glances. I was usually the life of the party, cracking jokes and stirring shit up. This is what fucking happens when you make shitty choices and don't follow your instincts. You get shit on. I watched as my president curled around his old lady, Chelsea, kissing her passionately and not giving a damn about who saw. It was good for all of us to be able to relax and not worry about whether someone was going to shoot us down or blow us up. We'd had the Italian mafia riding our asses for the last few months, not knowing where or when they were going to strike had us all on edge. Chelsea had been in their sights, and as hard as we tried to protect her in the end, the devil was closer than any of us had anticipated. One of Chelsea's closest friends and roommate, Rose, had been playing us the entire time. I felt a small ache in my chest at the thought of her. Rose hadn't only wormed her way into Chelsea's life, but mine also. I knew the attraction was there from the start, but she consistently fought against it. The playing hard to get act was always a turn-on for guys like me who could usually get any girl anywhere to spread her legs with ease. Turns out I was just an unwanted distraction in a mission to hurt my president's old lady. A mission that she fully succeeded in. Chelsea was on life support for days before she finally took a breath of her own, and even then it was all touch and go. Rose's father, Marco De Palma, had punctured Chelsea's lung, and we had made it just in time to rush her to the hospital. But by that stage her brain had been starved of oxygen, and it severely affected her ability to talk and use her body. Rose disappeared and Chelsea was left with weeks of physical therapy, fighting to get back to the exercise-addicted girl she was before. Her whole life had been turned upside down, all because we chose to trust someone who, in the end, stabbed us all in the back. It wasn't my first battle with betrayal, and I was beginning to question my ability to tell friend from foe. With Rose, my mind was so clouded with want that I couldn't see all the signs that were now like massive beacons. My phone buzzed in my pocket and Kev's name flashed across the screen. I frowned and headed for the side door of the clubhouse as I flicked the answer button. "Yeah. Come out to the gate. You're going to want to see this," he said cryptically, hanging up before I even had the chance to process what he'd said. I dropped my once again empty beer bottle into the large bin as I headed past it. The front gate was less than 100 feet from the clubhouse, so I just strolled out there. The gravel crunched under my heavy boots, and my body felt almost like it was floating due to the amount of alcohol I'd already consumed since I sat down at the bar just over an hour ago. It felt good, and I started contemplating dragging one of the club girls away after this in an attempt to get some of the sexual tension out of my body. The shitty part was that every time I'd tried, I imagined her face, Rose, staring straight back at me. Even in my fury, I wanted her more than I cared to admit. I stepped back through the gates, and as soon as I spotted her, I shook my head, thinking it was just another trick the booze was playing on me. But when she turned to look at me, I knew she was real and standing right in front of me. My heart raced, and I had to stop my body from running to her and wrapping her up tightly. She looked broken, her eyes sunken in like she hadn't slept in weeks, and her already slim body much smaller than I'd remembered. I squared my shoulders. We watched each other for a moment. She pulled on her long dark hair, her nerves showing. It was one of the things that had attracted me to her. Rose had always been strong. I could feel it and see it when we'd first met. But when she was around me, she melted. The hard exterior was gone. It was like when she was in my presence, it calmed her. I liked that I had such an effect on her body and mind. I gritted my teeth, fighting through all my other emotions and drawing on the one that would disguise all the others. Anger. Didn't do enough damage already? Back for more? I spat. I watched as she took the hit from my words, her body curling in on itself protectively.
I'm so sorry.
She whispered so quietly I almost couldn't make it out.
I just came to apologize.
Her left arm was covered by a dark blue cast, which she rubbed at as she spoke, like it gave her some kind of confidence to say what she needed to say. I tried to remind myself that we weren't the only ones who were hurt during our war with her father. Marco De Palma was one seriously fucked up individual. His younger brother, Anthony, ran the De Palma family business. They were one of the most powerful Italian families on the East Coast and had their hands in all kinds of illegal activities. Marco was angry that the family business had been passed on to his younger sibling and had gone all kinds of crazy, killing their father and framing our club for it. Marco's plan to bring us down and kill Chelsea had fallen through when we had informed his little brother of what he'd been up to. Rose had taken a lot of punishment from Marco. He'd manipulated her into thinking she needed to prove herself in order to be regarded a part of his family. And with her mother passing away, she felt like they were all she had left. He beat her, tortured her, and in her eyes left her with no other option. What she didn't see was what Chelsea and I were offering her. More than just friendship, but family here at the club. The thought made me furious. Family was more than just blood that runs through your veins. It's who has your back in times of crisis. It's who is willing to stand beside you when you're facing the firing squad. It's finding a group of people who'll love you and support you unconditionally. It's something we were willing to offer her, but that she'd refused to take. Because that makes it all okay, right? I growled, frustration building inside of me. Chelsea only just got out of the fucking hospital. We almost lost her. She can't even walk or talk right. It could take months for her to get back to where she was. Her hand went to her chest, and I watched as she swallowed back the tears that were building in her eyes.
I shouldn't have come,
she whispered, turning away and looking like she was about to make a run for it. But the asshole in me wouldn't let her have the satisfaction of getting away with what she'd done. I wanted her to feel the pain that I was feeling. I wanted her to feel the way my heart ached when I thought of her. I wanted her to hurt just like I was. I was selfish. You play the victim well. We all believed it. Chelsea was ready to throw down for you. So was I. But it was all fucking bullshit. I took a step forward. She spun around and I saw it. The fire in her eyes that I thought was gone. The spitfire was still there inside her, and I couldn't help but feel excitement build in me. I wanted her to challenge me. I wanted to see that fire burn, because then I knew it wasn't all just an act. There was something real about her.
I was a victim. Don't stand there and think because of all this that you know what I've been through, the shit I've fought through.
Her breathing was heavy, and tears began to stream down her cheeks.
You have your family, Blizzard. You have a clubhouse full of brothers and people who'd stand beside you in the blink of an eye. I had no one.
You had me, I crowed, moving closer to her. I wanted to pick her up and shake her. I pounded on my chest right over my heart. I was there. Chelsea was fucking there. We had your back, and you still turned around and fucking played us. She pulled at her hair. She cried out,
I had no choice.
She was falling to pieces in front of me, and it took all the strength I had not to pick her up and cradle her in my arms. I understand that she'd felt pressured, that her father had forced her hand. But I'd given her so many opportunities to come clean. Chelsea had cared for her, taken her to the hospital when her father had gone too far. But she hadn't taken them. And now she'd made her bed and she was going to lie in it. We all have a choice. You made yours. I spat on the ground, ready to end this conversation and walk away. We both stared at each other, her with tears streaking her cheeks, and me with a forced amount of venom and disgust in my eyes. It wasn't long before a car pulled up to the curb behind her. She knew it was there, and I instantly knew who it was. My body went into self-protective mode. I knew there were a couple of my brothers at the gate behind me, but I'd stepped out into the open, chasing her as she had retreated. She checked over her shoulder as the car doors opened. The wind whipped around her, blowing her hair across her face. My fingers twitched, itching to pull it back and tuck it behind her ear so I could see her beautiful eyes again.
"Rosalie, get in the car!"
I recognized the boys as they stepped onto the curb and began to walk forward. Giovanni and Ricardo were Anthony De Palma's two surviving sons. His eldest son, Kenneth, was once a man who I called a brother. When Anthony had thought that we had killed his father, he sent his eldest son in to infiltrate our ranks in an attempt to destroy the club from the inside out. After almost killing a brother's old lady, we discovered who he was, and we had taken him out. We'd been waiting for retribution, and my gut was telling me that this was it. Gio and Rico flanked Rose on either side. I could feel the nerves coming from Rico as his eyes moved subtly between his brother and me. But Giovanni stood firm, unwavering in his anger as he stared me down. A handgun hung at his side, his fingers clenched tightly around it.
"Get in the car, Rosalie."
Her eyes were bright and wide, which told me she hadn't planned this to happen, and she was beginning to panic. She placed a hand on Gio's chest in a weak attempt to usher him away, but the kid was angry and looking for vengeance. That was all he could see at this point, and not her or anything else was going to stop him. I pulled my shoulders back, knowing that this was going to go down, but not willing to show any ounce of fear. I'd faced worse, and I wasn't going to let this kid think he was about to bring me down.
"Just another trick, huh? When will you boys stop using women to do your dirty work?"
I taunted, holding my arms wide and inviting him to take a shot.
"No,"
Rose growled, narrowing her eyes at me in contempt. She moved, placing her body in front of her cousin.
"We're leaving."
Gio ignored her, continuing to glare at me over her head.
"You took our brother."
I clenched my fists. Kenneth, or Target as he was known to the club, was an asshole. He treated women like shit, degrading them and hurting them at every chance he got. It made me angry to think that anyone could stand and speak for him, considering what he did to my family.
"He was a douchebag. You should be thanking me. Now he's out of the way. You're next in line to take the throne,"
I sneered sarcastically.
"He was my brother!"
Gio screamed, raising his gun and pointing it directly at me. I could see down the dark barrel of the gun, its depth seeming never-ending.
"He had a known slave trader pick up one of our old ladies and sell her to the highest bidder,"
I shot back. Rose gasped. Good. I hope now she realized the type of people she was fighting for, the type of family she had chosen. The brothers by blood weren't perfect by any means, but we had respect. We had dignity.
"Your club took one of my family,"
Gio lowered his voice. His anger was gone. Now he was the perfect, calm, and calculating soldier his father had raised. His emotions were no longer stopping him.
"Now I'm going to take one of theirs. Blood for blood."
My body tensed, preparing for the impact.
"No!"
Rose screamed and threw herself at her cousin. My body reacted instantly. She didn't see it, but I reached out for her. Everything inside me, my instincts, telling me that I needed to protect her. That simple movement saved my life.
Chapter 1. Rose.
"Uncle, I'm fine."
"People who are fine don't up and leave without an explanation, Rosalie."
I sighed, hearing my Uncle Anthony use my full name. He had refused to call me anything else. Anthony and my cousins had tried so hard to bring me into their family and make me feel welcome. Sometimes it was comforting. Since I could remember, I'd always prayed for a big family. And here I was, thrown into one of the largest and most powerful Italian families within the United States. But it was different. It wasn't what I'd imagined. I'm just...
"Rosalie, we are family. We work out our problems together."
The tone of his voice was almost scolding. I hung my head. I knew if I didn't turn around and head home that he would send someone out looking for me. Okay, I sighed. I'll head home now. I stared up at the sky. You could barely see it between the buildings that stretched high into the clouds. It was beginning to get dark, and the once white clouds were now shaded with dark gray and threatening to storm down on me. People bustled down on the sidewalk on their way home from work, or just trying to escape before they got soaked. I followed suit and dived into the stairwell that led to the subway. I'd gotten pretty good at navigating the city over the last couple months. I'd only had to call my cousin Rico to come rescue me 3 or 4 times. He thought it was hilarious every single time. I'd learned quickly that he was the best one to call. My other cousin, Celia, was no help at all. She didn't leave the house unless it was for school or a shopping spree. She was spoiled, and everyone knew it, including her. Giovanni, the eldest of them all, I hadn't spoken to since he shot Blizzard. He tried once, but I couldn't handle it. Every time I looked at him, all I could see was Blizzard's blood spilling onto the broken concrete. Gio was a soldier in his father's mafia army. He saw through feelings and emotions and had been taught to only do what needed to be done to protect his family and their business. He was close to being completely emotionless, and even though we weren't close, my heart hurt to think about the person he was becoming. I pushed my way through the busy underground. A girl with long blonde hair playing her guitar sat on the ground against a concrete wall. She was beautiful and young, possibly still a teenager, but her music was entrancing. I watched her for a few minutes. Just as I was about to walk over and throw some change into the guitar case she had sitting at her feet, a couple of thugs with their pants hanging low approached her. I frowned as they stood over her, taunting her as they started grabbing at the small amount of money she had collected. She scrambled to her feet and pushed at them, yelling for them to get lost. One of the boys pushed her back against the solid wall and the air left her lungs. "Hey!" I yelled, my feet carrying me to them before I even knew what I was doing. I raised my foot and kicked the boy who was crouched at her guitar case. He fell to the side and coins scattered over the ground. "Leave her alone!" My voice didn't shake, the adrenaline in my veins holding it steady. I thought someone else might stop to help, but people just moved past the altercation, looking the other way as though they just didn't want to know. I felt anger building inside me. I knew what it was like to have no one stand up for me. People looked on but never made an attempt to help. They were selfish. They always just assumed someone else would do it. Leave it for someone else to deal with.
"Fuck off, bitch."
Suddenly, the second boy was in my face, sneering down at me. "Leave her alone," I answered him, holding my shoulders back and refusing to be intimidated.
"Look at you. Little white girl trying to be a hero."
He grinned, a chipped and broken tooth staring back at me. I felt it building inside of me. I was sick. Sick and fucking tired of people looking down on me, assuming that I couldn't protect myself. I was tired of people looking at me and assuming that they could take advantage. I wouldn't let someone take advantage of me again. I wasn't going to let myself be walked over and destroyed. My father had crushed me, and I had taken it, thinking that it was what I deserved, that I had to fight for his love. But you know what? I didn't have to fight because I knew now that I deserved more than that. I swung my fist, knowing that I was going to catch the little punk off guard, but before it could connect with his jaw, a thick hand was wrapped around my wrist, holding it in place. The thieving little assholes stumbled back from the confrontation with glaring eyes, but they didn't back down. I knew exactly who was standing beside me without even having to turn my head. My uncle was well known within the city, especially with the local gangs. Obviously, these kids hadn't seen New York's list of people whom not to fuck with.
"Problem, Rosalie."
Angelo's voice sent shivers down my spine. Angelo ran my uncle's business on this side of the city. He was tall, sturdy, and sexy as hell. He was also single and actively looking for a wife so he could marry and have children, someone to pass on his legacy to. The problem? He wasn't the man I wanted. The young blonde girl stood plastered to the wall, her eyes moving back and forth between the two wannabe gangsters and us.
Give the girl back her money,
Angelo said, clearly and emphatically, the prominent Italian accent in his voice making his words all that much fiercer. The younger, obviously more stupid of the boys stood tall, crossing his arms across his chest with a look of defiance.
What are you going to do about it, businessman?
He lifted the hem of his shirt, revealing a handgun that was tucked into the waistband of his boxers. The noise of a train filled the station, the breeze blowing against my skin as it began to pull to a stop. People rushed around us, oblivious to the paltry confrontation. Angelo swiftly slipped me to the side, next to the blonde girl. His thick hand reached out and grabbed the thug around the throat. He pulled him close, and his mouth moved, but I couldn't hear what he was saying because of the noise of the train and the crowd. He threw the boy backward, but he managed to catch himself. He looked over at me with wide eyes before grabbing his friend by the shirt and dragging him off down the platform. Angelo watched them leave before he turned to me.
Let's go, Rosalie.
I took a deep breath and dug my hand into my pocket. I pulled out whatever cash was in there and reached for the young girl who was still staring at us in shock. I grabbed her hand and forced the money inside. Not stopping to talk, I jogged after Angelo, who'd already begun walking in the direction of the exit. I followed him back outside where, just as I had suspected, it had started to pour with rain. There was a dark-tinted car sitting at the curb, and Angelo drew the door open and waited for me to climb in before following suit. I stared out the window, waiting for the lecture that I knew was coming.
Why would you do something so stupid?
Angelo asked casually, but I could hear the sharpness to his tone.
Gang members are dangerous. They're young and stupid, and that makes them extremely unpredictable.
You were there, it's fine, I told him, feeling like I was a little girl who'd just been caught sneaking out at night.
And if I hadn't been?
I snorted. No point in thinking about what could have been. Doesn't make sense. We sat in silence for a few minutes, swaying side to side as the driver weaved through New York City traffic like he was trying out for NASCAR.
How do you grow if you never consider the mistakes you've made in the past?
His question made my back straighten. I turned in my seat so I could meet his eyes. They watched me carefully and with amusement, as if he was enjoying the reaction I was giving him. How do you move on if you're constantly dwelling on all the shit you fucked up? I shot back at him with a little less class.
Sounds like you speak from experience.
He noted, his eyes watching me carefully. Don't bullshit me, Angelo. I screwed up my nose. Don't act like my uncle didn't inform you of what happened.
Touché, Doroso mio,
he said with a slight smirk. The truth was that I did dwell. The choices I'd made during the last year hung heavily on my mind and constantly made me feel sick to my stomach. I desperately wished that there was a way I could make things right. I'd allowed myself to be manipulated and used. Somewhere along the way, I'd lost myself. I'd lost the ability to tell right from wrong and love from hate. I'd lost friends, family, and all of my pride and self-respect. But out of everything, it was knowing that I'd lost him that almost broke me. Almost. I wasn't giving up just yet. If there were a way to fix the things I had done, I would take it in the blink of an eye, regardless of the consequences.
Chapter 2. Blizzard. Brother, wake up, man. I could hear the voice through the fuzz in my head, but I was so exhausted. My eyes fought to stay closed. Someone shook my shoulder and I startled. My neck ached, my head ached, and my whole body screamed at me to get some proper rest. Liz. I rubbed at my eyes. The blur beginning to diminish, and Optimus, my best friend and president, stood next to me. How's he doing? Reality began to dawn, and it was more than sobering. He had overdosed. And with the amount of alcohol that was in his system and his aggressive nature, they were smart enough to keep him sleeping while they figured out what the hell was going on. Well, they told me he'd popped too many pills. I was thinking, fuck off. This stubborn bastard would never leave this earth voluntarily. He's too much of an asshole for that, I told Ob as I watched my father's face. It was the first time in years I'd seen it without a scowl. He was never happy to see me. Whenever I visited, he'd always walked out with a, "What do you want?" even if he was expecting me. It was never a friendly welcome. Hans was a hard ass. "They know what's wrong then?" Op asked, leaning back against the wall opposite me. Shrugging, I pushed my chair back and stretched up, loosening my cramped muscles. I wasn't even sure how long I'd been there. One of the old-timers from the club had gone around to visit yesterday and found him passed out on the floor. I hadn't left since they brought him in. The nurse looked a little nervous when she explained that the doctor needed to speak to me, but that could have been because of my dashing good looks. I wiggled my eyebrows and Op cracked a small smile. "Shell didn't come with you?" "Your dad scares the shit out of her." Blunt as always. "Scares the shit out of me too," I said, picking up the glass of water on the stand next to the bed and throwing back the whole thing. There was a light tap on the door. Op raised an eyebrow. "You want me to go while you chat with the doctor?" I shook my head as I called for the doctor to come in. I wouldn't admit it, but I needed all the support I could get right now. This was all new territory for me. My dad was the biggest asshole on the planet, but I'd never seen him broken down. Ever. The doctor, a short, balding man, and a nurse who looked like she could be on the cover of Playboy, came in quietly. The nurse eyed me up and down, and I just knew that after this was all done, I would need a release, and she was going to be it. "What's up, Doc?" He wasn't amused by my joke, but gave me a small smile anyway.
"This is a bit more serious than we first thought, Mr.
Blizzard." The doctor frowned at my club name and made a quick note on his paper before he continued.
"Mr. Blizzard, your father here has Korsakoff's syndrome. This syndrome is part of the early-onset dementia family and is usually associated with heavy alcohol consumption over a long period of time."
And that was my dad in a nutshell. He was a drinker. He was the drinker. Apparently, now the drinking had taken its toll. I scrubbed at my face with my hand. It was unshaven and longer than I usually kept it because of how much time I'd been cooped up in this fucking hospital. "Can you explain?" I asked slowly, trying not to let my temper or frustration override. Nodding, the doctor flipped over a few pages on his clipboard.
"The reason your father overdosed on his medication was because he couldn't remember taking it. His short-term memory is severely affected, so he just kept taking them until he passed out, not knowing that he had just taken his pill time and time and time again."
His eyes continued to scan the page. They never looked up at me. I didn't know if that was because he was too scared to, or because he was bored with having to explain this whole thing to me. "So he has dementia?" I asked cautiously, looking over to Optimus to check that I wasn't the only one who had heard that. Op's eyes were wide as he stared at the doc in shock. The doctor frowned, almost as though he'd just explained everything to me and I was still asking him stupid questions.
"It's part of the dementia family. Your dad is only 60. It's not a common age for dementia patients, but it does happen. There's a chance his circumstances could improve with a lot of hard work."
"You're saying he needs to stay sober, aren't you?" I queried.
"That, among other things. He will need shots of thiamine and ongoing support."
I choked on a laugh and his eyes shot up in complete shock. "He's gonna tell you to get fucked. He's going to yell and scream and fucking throw shit." He seemed to consider that for a moment.
"Maybe we should suggest a care facility if you don't think you're capable of giving him the support he needs."
"You're going to have to lock him up and throw away the key if you think you have any kind of chance of getting him off the alcohol," I told him bluntly, ignoring the cheap shot at me not caring enough for my father. The bastard had treated me like shit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?